Hello and welcome back to another great episode of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. As always, I'm your host, John Rickcarn. And after numerous scheduling delays, partially to mine and partially to my guests, Courtney, the blockchain babe, actually returns finally. You may have heard her before on episode number 9. Hers is actually the number one downloaded episode for, oh boy, probably about 2 months. Then was actually kicked out of the lineup quite disastrously, if I might add, by Bobby Casey of Global Wealth Protection. And at the time of this recording, still holds the number one spot for most downloads. So we'll see if the return of the blockchain babe, Courtney Moeller, ends up breaking that streak of Bobby's and maybe she gets back to number one or maybe even the top five spot. Now, for today's episode, I'll just give you a couple highlights of what Courtney and I discussed. You may have heard a little bit here and there in the news, mainstream media, on Twitter, whatever, kind of the crypto bloodbath, so to speak, of 2022. Might have heard of Celsius, which I myself have been affected, and Three Arrows Capital, which is a hedge fund, Vault and Voyager, which were two other crypto exchanges that are in the process or have filed bankruptcy protection amongst creditors. You can actually go to the show notes of this podcast. I include a story. There was one person that had about 24 years worth of savings, over $1 million, I believe it was, and had it all in Voyager into crypto, was earning, I think 5-6% interest on, Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever the holdings were. But due to the bankruptcy of Voyager, completely wiped out. So I mean, generally speaking, the way the crypto bloodbath has been and a lot of these bankruptcies have occurred, 24 years of savings wiped out and locked out, so to speak, within 24 hours. So if I can, again, I'm not a financial advisor, but if I can give any, advice, life lessons, so to speak, whether it's crypto, whether it's real estate, whether it's stocks, whether it's bonds, whether it's precious metals, whatever investment mix is your preference, always, always, always diversify, diversify, diversify. And you'll want to have a hedge in place. You want to be able to hedge risk. Hedging, very, top level, to give you an idea. Many of my real estate holdings, I don't go for the cheapest property insurance. I don't go for the, progressives or the generals. I tend to go a little bit higher up. One I actually have is a loss of rental income rider. So if, something happens to one of my properties, instead of being sitting there with losing, $3,000 a month in income or whatever the case may be, my insurance company will actually pay me for that loss of rental income while, repairs are being made or, roofs being replaced, whatever the case may be. So that is just one simple example of hedging risk. Again, diversified. I've seen way too many put like all their holdings, into one platform, into one, cryptocurrency exchange. Again, I'm diversified quite a bit between, Coinbase, BlockFi. Personally, I do have a little bit still locked up in Celsius. Wally is another one that I use, just to, give you a couple options out there that I diversify myself. And I always, always have an exit plan for all my holdings, whether it's a stock, a Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency, whatever the case may be. I think too many people have just kind of, a fear of missing out. They want to invest in, whatever the next altcoin is, but they don't have an exit plan. They don't have a very defined criteria of I'm going to put $1,000 in. Maybe my criteria is once it hits 1500 or I have a 50% gain, I will pull out my $1,000 investment and then I'm sitting on an infinite return. I'm going to let the $500 ride up on the next, Mono or Ethereum or Litecoin or whatever the case may be. That's an idea or some options for an exit plan and hedging risk. Like I mentioned with Celsius, personally, I'm out about $1,500, give or take, depending on how the bankruptcy goes to plan. They were another company that took on too much leverage, made bets with that leverage. Crypto went down in value, just like a stock margin call. They got called out and then they had to liquidate and freeze assets to try to stay afloat. And at the time of this recording, they are still in bankruptcy proceedings. So who knows? Like I said, I'm out about $1,500, but that is a fraction of what my guest Courtney is out of. And thankfully, both of us have diversified and hedged risk enough that neither one of us are, you know, going to become destitute or be living in a cardboard box underneath the interstate anytime soon. But be sure to stay tuned for Courtney's take on, you know, the crypto bloodbath, some of the, you know, bankruptcies we've seen, why they occurred, and so forth. At the same time, as far as diversifying, hedging risk, and have an exit plan, always remember the old adage, buy when there's blood in the streets. I think that was a Rothschild quote from many years ago. At the time of this recording, silver is below $20 an ounce. I think that's a great buying opportunity versus selling. Gold has really been kind of in a rut, hasn't really increased, decreased. It's just been kind of more or less flat for 2022. But personally, I think anytime gold is under $2,000 an ounce, that is a great time to buy. And at the time of this recording, Bitcoin is just under $20,000 per Bitcoin. Again, I think that's a you know, pretty good entry point. Most of my entry points have been in the $10,000 range that I'm still setting, you know, pretty good across my holdings, even with the recent declines from about 60 some thousand in 2021 to, you know, 20s here in 2022. Final note, and speaking of $10,000, the 28 minute mark, if you want to skip ahead, whether you're listening to this on a podcast or the YouTube recording, Courtney actually shares a $10,000 NFT that she purchased for a little NFT rabbit. Maybe that doesn't sound interesting to you. For some people, they're really into NFTs, but that's another option you can look at. And we'll also discuss some various exchanges you can buy and sell and bid on NFTs, because I do think there's some opportunities in the market. Again, don't go hog wild. Don't bet the farm. Don't place everything into it like the people that did with GameStop stock or you know, Bitcoin or Luna, or just you know, name a few out there. You know, like I said, Courtney, we want to make sure that you stay tuned and listen to the whole podcast. She's going to be mentioning a number of projects that she's working on, a number of tokens that she thinks is very exciting. So you won't want to miss any of that. And as always, would appreciate a rating, a review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. You can see above me, actually on this side, if you're watching this by YouTube, you can follow me on all the social networks, youtube.com/WFreedomNexus, also WFreedomNexus. You can find as my Instagram handle and Twitter handle, or WFreedomNexus.com. We'll take you to the website with all sorts of resources and valuable information as you pursue on your investment journey. Now with that, we will jump right in after a word from our sponsors. Are you tired of the roller coaster of the stock market? The S&P 500 just had its worst start to a year in over 50 years. The NASDAQ is down 25%. The Dow is in correction territory, and past stock darlings like Netflix are down over 60% year to date. Why not invest in assets that provide constant cash flow and growth unrelated to the stock market? From private businesses to cryptocurrency, the options are nearly endless. I myself have invested in promissory notes, self-storage syndications, a Bitcoin mining fund, and even a teak parcel down in Nicaragua in my retirement accounts. IRAs, solo 401ks, even HSAs don't have to be constrained by traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And that is why I trust Amanda Holbrook and the specialized trust team with my retirement accounts. Reach out to Amanda today, 505-514-0587, or go to specializedtrustcompany.com for a free consultation today.
Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here's your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Courtney, the blockchain babe returns. Courtney, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. I know we had a lot of schedule conflicts over the last few months to coordinate everything, but at least we finally got this lined up.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, between, masterminds and events and everything else, and kids and sports and all the things, it's tough.
Yeah. And like we were just talking a little bit before off camera, it's like, yeah, my son just turned 11 months and it seemed like he was just born yesterday. And funny how things
fly. I can't believe he's already 11 months. Like that has flown by.
Yep. And he's got 9 teeth total. Yeah. To 9 teeth fully out and 2 that are kind of working right now. And
oh my gosh. Well, he is so precious. I love seeing the pictures of him. He is so stinking cute.
So yeah, he's growing like a weed and everyone loves Ronnie.
Oh, and it's so funny, especially when they get the one little tooth popping out and now he's got a little mouthful. Aw. So cute.
Yeah. So, and for my listeners too, feel free to stalk me on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll see thousands, if not tens of thousands of pictures of him, between Instagram and whatnot. So, but anyways, cute kids aside, I kind of wanted to touch base on a number of things in the, crypto, metaverse, blockchain world. And maybe just, starting off, Courtney, I know you had done your intro interview back on episode 7, a little bit just more of blockchain 101, so to speak, maybe going a little bit higher level. And there's been a lot of rumblings in the news, and there's this, should I say, was this company Three Arrows Capital? What was it? What happened? What's the deal with that?
Well, that's really good. And fortunately, I wasn't involved with the Three Arrows. Three Arrows was a crypto hedge fund, and it was a really prominent hedge fund. They had billions of dollars under management. The problem was that they got over leveraged and they got called. And that's kind of what happened with a lot of these. So, it wasn't just Three Arrows Capital. Voyager went down, Celsius went down. We had a whole handful. Vald went down.
Vald too. I didn't know that.
Vald too. And so, what these guys were doing is they were going and they were borrowing money and, placing trades with this borrowed money, and they got margin called and they couldn't make those loans. And actually, I think Voyager was the first one to call in that note against Three Arrows Capital. And the fact that Three Arrows couldn't play trickled down to Voyager. And then, it was really funny. So I didn't have anything on Voyager or Three Arrows Capital, but I did have notes that I carried on Celsius. Mm-hmm. So I actually still have 4 Bitcoin locked into Celsius right now. It's funny. I was just talking to somebody else this morning that, all these platforms were really good, trusted, safe places to keep your money that had insurance. And it just goes to show you that it really, you've got to kind of understand what these guys are doing in the background to know if your funds are really actually safe. And, here we trickle back to the not your keys, not your coins. And I've really pretty much moved everything out of earning interest because, that whether it was 5%, 10%, 12%, was it worth the fact that I just lost 4 Bitcoin? No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. So, is it painful? Yes. I'm really kind of hoping my Vald money is still getting interest. I'm still getting interest payments, which is kind of funny because I can't withdraw anything. So I've got money locked onto there as well.
Well, I know Celsius, at least I can, for my experience, I still got some, tied up in Celsius. And I always kind of looked at Bitcoin. It's like, all right, I'm not investing more than, if Bitcoin falls to zero, it's going to suck, but I'm not going to be destitute or, have to be live in a cardboard box underneath the interstate or anything like that. But then, probably about 8 weeks, I was still getting emails that, you earned whatever in interest on Celsius. So it's like, well, that's interesting because I can't withdraw it. And then I think as of 2 weeks ago, as of this recording, I think end of July, maybe mid-July, then they say, we're pausing all, earnings and whatnot. And who knows, maybe Bitcoin will rocket back up to 60,000. They can pay everyone off and everything's
straight and dandy. They did pay off all of their Bitcoin notes. And so, which is great. So there's some good things happening, but they filed bankruptcy and I'm not going to hold my breath. I mean, should it come back and they're able to repay any of it, that will be amazing. But I don't see that happening. And it's really funny because once they had paused withdrawals, you know, I used my Bitcoin to leverage, you know, I leveraged it on Celsius's website, you know, and I would borrow against it and go put that money into something else. Well, you know, once Bitcoin got down to a certain amount, my first note got called and they said, hey, you know, Bitcoin's dropped to this amount. You know, if you don't deposit this much more, we're going to liquidate it. And I thought, you've suspended withdrawals. I'm sure as heck not going to deposit more
right.
in this account. And so my first note got liquidated, but I couldn't withdraw it. And my second note is still, I actually haven't logged in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. So I need to see if I can log in and see what it even says, because I'm not sure. But all of these companies, essentially, they were all trading on margin and they all got hosed. Actually, all of the investors and all of the people that had accounts or who got hosed, and the Three Arrows Capital guy, they disappeared off the face of the earth. Like,
yeah, I've heard that too.
They didn't show up to court. And I actually read an article sometime within this last couple of days that I think they have popped up in the United Arab Emirates. I think they're over in Dubai. So, you know, I mean, but they owe billions of dollars to people. It just, you know, I hate that I'm probably going to lose 4 Bitcoin. That's, you know, between what I had there involved, I mean, it's $100,000. That's a lot of money, you know? But you know, it doesn't, you know, change whether I'm able to feed my family or not. It sucks, but, you know, I don't ever have anything more than what I'm willing to lose in one place. I mean, not that I wanted to lose
that. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money to lose. But, you know, in all the time that I've been in crypto, you know, I've known that, you know, it's not your keys, which is why I do have things spread into so many different areas. And so even though I really hate that, you know, the original amounts of money that I put in, you know, I multiplied that, compounded it, you know, I've pulled a lot of that out and put it into other assets. So really everything that I still have sitting in crypto, which is still pretty significant, is really just all kind of free money that's sitting there that I, you know, made back in 2020 when we ran through that way. So, I still don't like losing $100,000, but
yeah, I don't think there's anyone out there that's, you know, unless you're, I don't know, maybe Jeff Bezos, $100,000 is like losing a $10 bill for most people.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think anyone likes losing the money. I mean, I know I've kind of read some of the blogs and, you know, Better Business Bureau posts and everything. It's like, I don't know, everyone's got a sob story, but then when someone says like, oh, I hope that I get this money back, otherwise I'm going to lose my house and my kids are going to go hungry. I have my life savings in this platform. Like, you never put 100% of your life savings in. I don't care what it is, real estate, gold, or crypto.
100%. I mean, you should definitely be diversified into all kinds of things, no matter what it is. So I see that kind of stuff. And, you know, when the Terra Luna, when that debacle happens, I mean, people were talking, I saw all this stuff on Twitter and people talking about, you know, they're losing their homes. And I just thought, man, I can't even imagine going and doing something like that and putting all of my eggs in one crazy basket. That's a crazy basket to put your stuff in.
Yeah. Well, and they've had all these, you know, even outside the crypto, these, you know, meme coins and meme stocks. I remember reading one story, like a guy, I think he only got paid like $40,000 a year as a, I don't know, security officer or whatever it was, when the whole GameStop stock, you know, mania was going up. He took a personal loan out. I mean, it was basically 1 year's worth of salary. He put it all into GameStop. And I don't remember what it fell from, you know, so basically his stock went from what, 40,000 to maybe 5,000 or whatever the case was. But now he's still stuck with a 5-year personal loan that he has to pay back. That I can't remember what the principal and interest, but it's like, okay, you're going to end up paying $55,000 towards an asset that maybe will be worth five.
Oh my gosh, I would take that $5,000 and totally put it on Bitcoin. Cause I mean, if you're, I mean, eventually that's going to come back and multiply. So that's probably the safest thing that he could do. Oh, that makes me so sad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and yeah, just a word of the wise, you know, diversify. There's, you know, investment money and your, you know, security blanket, your, emergency fund, if you want to call it, you know, don't put all your life savings into something speculative, whatever that is.
Wow.
But with that, Courtney, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, and you know, whether it's Celsius, Vault, Voyager, you know, et cetera, there has been this phrase kind of floating around. If it's not your keys, it's not your Bitcoin or not your wallet, a couple variations. Yeah. What exactly, you know, is it a physical key that I put in my laptop, or what does it mean that if I don't have the key, I really don't own it, whatever it is?
Yeah. So, okay. So the keys to your wallet are really kind of like if you're going to log into your Bank of America account or whatever account, you know, your username and password is kind of your keys to get into your funds in your wallet or your accounts, right? So the keys are like the seed phrase, like Trust Wallet, I think, is a 12 word key. It's 12 words in a certain order, and those keys give me access to my funds. And so in your wallet, it's not like an actual wallet like we think of as a traditional wallet that you put cash in. That key actually just shows where the access to where your crypto is being stored on the blockchain. So whenever you have an account with like Coinbase or Celsius or any of these people, like, you're not creating a private key. They hold the keys to those coins. So we don't. So because of that, they are the ones that have full control over that crypto, and it can be frozen, it can be confiscated, it can be taken. So all of my crypto, other than I do have a little bit on a couple of exchanges still, but most of mine is in either a hot wallet or cold storage. And so your hot wallets are your wallets that are connected to the internet, and your cold storage is like your USB sticks that are not. So I have the keys to both of those, all of those items, and I maintain full control over that. And it's kind of like, if you think about like these kids that play Fortnite, you know, you can go in there and you can buy outfits and all these different things. But really, even though they've purchased it, they really don't own it because they can't transfer it out of that game, right? So even though you've bought it, Fortnite maintains control over all of these things that you've bought. So which is kind of where this metaverse thing, and you can buy all of these different outfits and all these different things, but you own them in your wallet, and you can take them and utilize them in different places. So it's kind of that same concept.
Interesting. So then, you know, kind of ironically, so right here, I'm holding a Kivo wallet. I still have to get it programmed and load that up. So that would be an example of a, I'm guessing, cold wallet then, or is that the, Yep.
That would be cold storage because it's not connected to the internet. You've got your seed phrases. Nobody can come in and hack that thing because it's not connected to anything.
And then probably the other thing, and I know we've heard stories of, you know, it's 50 cents, or losing a hard drive. If you forget your key, you lose your key, then you're kind of SOL at that point, I suppose.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to lose your keys. So I, you know, I keep all of mine. I've got, you know, a card that's laminated and it's in a fireproof safe, you know, so that I can't lose it. And I've got more than one copy. And here's the great thing about a lot of these cold storage devices. I don't know I'm not familiar with the one you just held up, but like I have a Ledger Nano X.
Sure.
And say that thing gets run over, or I lose it, or it goes up in flames, or it falls to the bottom of the ocean. As long as I have my keywords, my seed phrase, I can buy another actual cold storage stick and I can move my stuff onto there as long as I've got that seed phrase.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So in a way it'd be kind of like, I don't know, for backup, I use Carbonite and Dropbox. If my laptop, you know, I'm not a sailor, but I'm on a yacht and my laptop falls in the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, I'm not going to get it. I can get a new laptop, connect with my Carbonite and all my files, all my pictures, everything kind of re-downloads, so to speak.
Right. But since you brought up Dropbox and that sort of thing, you know, for anything related to crypto, your seed phrase, all of that, you never want to store that in any kind of notes on your phone. You never want to screenshot it. All of that stuff is hackable. You never want to store it in the cloud. All of those things are hackable. And if people can hack in and grab that, they can get your seed phrase and take whatever it is that you have. So you always want to make sure. My favorite thing to do to create my passwords is to come up with some kind of sentence like, you know, let's go to Paris or, you know, whatever, and then take that and change some of the letters to numbers and add symbols in. And I make it really complicated. You don't reuse it on anything else. You never have it to where it automatically logs you in. You should be typing that sucker out every single time you log in.
Okay.
Don't screenshot it. Don't share it. Don't save it in the cloud. Don't do any of that kind of stuff. And then, like I said, make sure you write it down and keep it somewhere safe.
Gotcha. This show is brought to you today by Lightbulb Podcasting. Are you a busy professional that needs to get more time back in their schedule? If you are a podcaster like me, you have enough on your plate. Why not outsource your podcast production? From editing, show notes, keywords, scheduling, volume balancing, and editing, and creating audiograms, podcast production is another job in and of itself. That's why I use Lightbulb Podcasting. Get phenomenal support at an affordable price while you concentrate on growing your brand. Go to www.lightbulbpodcasting.com today to schedule an introductory call. Put your content in the spotlight.
Yeah, basically just like any password, you know, keep it safe and don't lose it. And
guard it with your money. Yep. You get that password out and you're giving somebody money, you know, access to your money. So just like you would never give anybody your password to your bank account, you never, ever share your seed phrases to any of your accounts either. It's the same thing.
Or the ones that I still see this from time to time, it just kills me when they have a debit card and on the back of it where you're supposed to sign, they write their PIN number. I'm like, well, if you lose your debit card, well, gee, that's not going to be too difficult to get cash out of your account.
Please have access to my account. And here's my PIN.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's my social security number. Open up a new credit card while you're at the bank.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So you had mentioned a little bit, and I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around this idea per se, but you know, the Facebook especially has kind of gone all in with the metaverse. You know, I've heard stories of, you know, people buying real estate in the metaverse, and now, you know, the prices are falling more in the metaverse than they are in the, what'd you call it, a real verse or the actual world. Is it, for lack of a better term, basically just virtual reality, or is there, you know, kind of some more substance to it?
So much going on in the metaverse. And, you know, I think it's good and bad. I was looking at buying land in the metaverse here probably a year ago, and some of the stuff that I was looking at was running between like $10,000 and $50,000. And I just thought, I'm just really having a hard time wrapping my brain around paying $50,000 for this little plot of land. But let me tell you something, it has grown. Like, that game was called Decentraland. Okay. And, you know, if you log onto their map, you can see Atari and all of these huge companies have created, you buy this land and you can do whatever you want on this land. Like, some people have created stores. And so you have your little avatar and you walk around, and some people have created casinos where you can go in and actually literally play like blackjack or poker or stuff. You can talk to all these other weird, it looks like Minecraft to me. Like, Decentraland looks like Minecraft. And so you create your little person, you can run around and shop and or do whatever. I mean, when you own your piece of land, you can do whatever you want on it. So you can create whatever you want to create. And it's actually gone from there. There's so much other stuff besides that. So there are virtual reality games. Like, if you've got an Oculus, you can get into some kind of metaverse deal, you know, through virtual reality, which is a little more realistic than like the Decentraland stuff. So I have, you know, I've never really been very big into the NFT things, but I now have a handful of probably 40 NFTs, I guess. So I just always thought it was so bizarre that people would have these weird, you know, digital pictures. Like, what are you ever going to do with this digital picture? But it's so much more than just digital pictures. So, you know, there are people that have created NFTs. So like Gary Vee has a whole set of NFTs that he's created. And if you hold one of them, it gets you free entry to all of his conferences. So actually being used for so much more than just digital pictures. I have, I have a fluff, which is a rabbit. And this fluff world is such a, this was recommended by somebody else that's really smart. He's in the crypto mastermind group that I am in. And he's like, you know, you want a fluff, you know, make sure you get a girl because only a small percentage of them are females. Well, because I have that fluff, I was able to access a lot of other things. And fluff world is actually a lot further along in the metaverse space and these virtual reality spaces than anybody else. They are doing really, really cool stuff. They have what they call dens. So I bought a den and it's really kind of a virtual hangout place. I guess it's a room. And when you go into it, you go in as your the fluff that I own. And I guess if you own more than one rabbit, you can pick which rabbit you want to go in.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have no desire to go hang out in any world, real or otherwise, as any kind of rabbit or animal or anything else, but they're really popular. I mean, I am always getting offers for this rabbit. But they've done all of this really super cool stuff. And because I own that rabbit, that fluff, I keep getting airdropped these other NFT projects that are collaborating with them. And those have been really valuable. I'm still hanging on to them, but I get offers on a lot of that stuff all the time too, because people can go on to OpenSea and see who owns things. And so I'll just get randomly just get offers for the NFTs that I own. So I don't own a whole bunch, you know, it's a very select few things. You know, it kind of reminds me of that Ready Player One movie where, you know, people just interacted in the virtual world all the time. So, you know, part of that, I think that's kind of cool. But I also think that, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, I think it could be cool to go and experience some of that. But I also think that people need to live in the real world. Like, you can't replace like real interactions and real communication with people. Like we need that. And so as cool as some of the stuff that's being created is, I still think that we need real world, real life, real interaction, real life people.
Agreed. Well, and I think that whether it's the internet, Facebook, blockchain, you know, whatever the case is, I mean, it can always be good, used for good purposes or bad. I think just on the news a couple days ago,
everything.
Yeah, they were showing, I think it was for surgical students, and they were using Oculus with Facebook, and the students were, for best comparison I can think of, it was like a 3D Zoom call, and they were actually seeing 3D bodies of how the circulatory system worked, the nervous system, and it was actually more intuitive and they were learning faster than, well, we were able to find a cadaver. We were able to find this, plastic dummy or whatever the case may be. So, I think just with anything, there's, you know, good and bad for it, but yeah, I certainly don't think we want, I'm aging myself, but I think back in the 90s, there was a surrogate movie but with Bruce Willis where everyone was kind of like in this virtual world and not a virtual world, but they had avatars that lived in the real world and they stayed at home and they're quote unquote safe. And I don't know, I think, you know, just about anything could be just as dangerous.
Yeah. So no, I 100% completely agree with that. So, I don't know. In the NFTs, I think there's some great use cases. There's a vodka company that created NFT drinks. And so it's called Wisher Vodka, and they do virtual hangouts and stuff. But I minted one of their NFTs and it was some kind of cocktail. And but because I did that, you know, I got 6 bottles of vodka in the mail. Like they sent me the creator signed one of the bottles, and I got this whole like swag box with like a sweatshirt and a hat. And because I own that, it gets me into these certain cool like virtual hangouts and stuff that they do. And that fluff world, like they did a huge party in LA and you had to own a fluff to be able to get into this party. So we are seeing it evolve into other things. But I still like the in-person things.
Yeah. Just like we experienced with COVID. I mean, Grant, we're doing a Zoom meeting right now, but it's like, I kind of like the actual physical get-togethers versus, you know,
hanging out by video. I mean, Zoom is so amazing. You know, I have another, you know, tokenization project I've been working on. And, you know, over the course of this last month, I've had amazing meetings with guys that are in Dubai, in Israel, in so many other countries. And so Zoom has really, you know, this is such amazing technology, and it's really brought forth the ability to have meetings without having to be in person, which is actually pretty incredible.
Agreed. Yeah. So, just was curious when you mentioned the NFT, and I bought a fraction of an NFT on Rally once, and I think I was up 40%. I'm like, yeah, that's good. I just cashed out of it and whatnot. So Justin Bieber a while ago bought a Bored Ape for $1.29 million. Do you think that's up, or do you think he lost his shorts on that one?
That is crazy. Well, I mean, if he got it for $1.29 million, I mean, some of those things are going for 60, 70, 80. I mean, they're going much higher. So,
oh my God.
You know, here's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, things are cyclical. You know, we see the prices go up, prices go down. Right now is actually a really good time to get into a lot of these projects. If you've been wanting a Bored Ape, the fact that, you know, the price of Ethereum is down so low, it's a great time to get in. You know, Bitcoin, I get asked all the time, probably 1,000 times over this last month, is, you know, how do you still feel about Bitcoin? I feel amazing about Bitcoin. My belief in blockchain and Bitcoin and the technology hasn't changed. Right now is such an amazing time. I feel like God took crypto and like packaged it into a beautiful little box and put a big old bow tie on it. And said, here you go, Courtney. And I'm like, thank you so much. This is such an amazing time to buy and such an amazing time to get in because, you know, smart money buys when there's fear in the street, buy when there's blood in the streets. And that's where we are right now.
Yep. Yeah. The old Rothschild quote, I think I brought up on a recording yesterday. Yes. And you know, obviously Bitcoin peaked at around 60. I kind of waited for it to go down. And I actually put a bunch in I opened up a Roth IRA with IRA Financial that was tied to the Gemini platform. And it's like, all right, I'm going to wait for a better entry point. And yeah, hindsight 2020, I should wait till Bitcoin hit 17,000. But now I'm kind of looking at it's like, well, maybe I'll double down and keep it for another 10.
No, so you just dollar cost average in, you know? So if you're buying stuff now, that's kind of, you know, bringing, you know, it's going to lower your entry in because it'll bring down the cost of what, you know, you bought. And so, so it's great. You got to be greedy when others are fearful and everybody got scared and, you know, everybody got shaken out. And now we've got this great times, which is even more exciting because miner prices are directly related to the price of Bitcoin. And so they have gone down significantly. So there's just all of these amazing opportunities. It's kind of like when the stock market crashes, that's when you go in and buy. Yeah. You know, gold, you know, precious metals go through cycles, you don't buy at all times high, all time highs, you wait for it to come back down and then you add to your positions. It's the same thing with crypto. So a lot of these NFTs, I will never spend millions of dollars on. I mean, it just is not even on my radar. They're so ugly.
Yep. And yeah.
But those also, they actually have actual clubs where that gets you in to do certain things. So it's more than just a picture. I don't know that I can ever bring myself to spending that kind of money on it. There isn't anything that club is doing that I feel like I need to be a part of for that kind of money.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. And I think a lot of people just buy it because like, well, why'd you buy this Bored Ape for, you know, $20,000? Well, the truthful answer is probably because they think someone's going to buy for $25,000 and it just keeps going.
Well, I've spent $10,000 on that freaking fluff that I have. So let me see. I don't know if you can see it from on there, but I'm going to try to show you this thing. It is. I never in a million years thought that I would own a digital rabbit ever. And so, it's going so slow. Oh, here we go. Can you see? Oh, hold on.
Can you see it? Okay, there we go. Yep. Let's go get a bobbing head with
my $10,000
shirt, it looks like.
Yep, that's my $10,000 rabbit.
All right. Well, it moves. I mean, that's more than the 48 that I had from Rally. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So maybe as we're joking about fluffy rabbits and everything else here, kind of going back to like the underlying technology. And I know you addressed a lot of questions I had back in episode 7. And I've, you know, dabbled in and out, you know, have Bitcoin, Ethereum, et cetera. As far as like the, how do I put this, like the blockchain network and then maybe just the networks in general, I myself and a lot of others are used to like, you know, input this address or scan this QR code and one Bitcoin goes from John's wallet to Courtney's wallet or Courtney's to John, et cetera. Now I'm starting to see a lot of more of like, well, which network do you want? And I see these drop downs for, what was it, BEP 20 or BEP 20 or BEP 2 or Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Lightning. And I have absolutely no idea what that means. I just try to go to the platforms like I just click here, I scan this QR code and I'm done.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's actually, you know, a great question. So I'm going to kind of start with this. You know, there is, did you realize there was a difference between coins and tokens?
I know there's a difference, but if I got quizzed on what the difference is, I'd fail.
Okay. So a coin has its own blockchain. So it's okay. Like Bitcoin has its own blockchain. Ethereum has its own blockchain. A token is a project that's built on one of these blockchains. Okay. So we see like, I think Doge was built on Ethereum. You know, a lot of projects like, Atom or Cosmos is one of my favorite altcoins. They have their own blockchain and there's all of these other projects that are building on that ecosystem. So if they don't have their own blockchain, they are a token. Okay. So, and that's what you're looking at. So those like that BEP 20 ERC, ERC is your Ethereum. So you're just picking which blockchain it's going across.
Okay.
If that makes any kind of sense, your BEP 20, that's going to be Binance. And so there's so many different ones. And that's why you have to kind of make sure, as a matter of fact, my crypto mastermind group that I'm in, I had to send money to pay for that the other day. And I sent it from crypto.com. And he was like, I never got anything. And so I need to go back in and look and make sure it didn't go across the Kronos network, which is crypto.com's native token instead of the Ethereum network, because then you can end up losing what you're sending. So you have to be really careful that you're sending it on the right network.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I get those error messages on, you know, Coinbase and a couple others too, where, you know, if you send Ethereum on the Bitcoin network or Bitcoin on the Ethereum network or something like that, obviously it could go, you know, kaput. But then when I started seeing all these other, you know, alphanumeric networks, it's like, okay, I don't want to lose this.
Yes. And you have to be careful. So I'm really hoping, I sent him $400 the other day and I show the confirmations, but he's not showing it on his end. And actually Yeah. So I'm hoping we'll see. And I actually sent some KNC from Coinbase to my crypto.com account and it's never showed up. So I need to figure out what's happening there too.
Interesting. So, okay. Yeah. So, and then with these, again, other terminology I've heard and, you know, different networks, different, you know, platforms, so to speak, is this where I've heard airdrops, I've heard, you know, gas fees coming in. I mean, are those just, you know, portions of the network or like a
gas fee is really just, you can view that as like a transactional fee for using the network. Okay. I mean, essentially is what a gas fee is. So it's like, you're using this network. You can use it, but this is the fee for doing it. And so that has been a really big deal on Ethereum because the gas fees have been so high. And so if you're buying NFTs or moving stuff around on there and all these projects that have built on Ethereum, if you want to move them, it's been so expensive. I mean, I've had some of these NFTs that I've minted that have cost me hundreds of dollars in gas fees to mint because the gas fees were so high. So they're trying to solve that and fix that. Bitcoin's transaction fees, their gas fees are so minimal and some of them are free. So, which is really, really great. Now airdrops, I love airdrops. Airdrops are generally, if you own, so like I mentioned Cosmos a minute ago or Atom. Yep. Atom was one of my favorites. So many projects are being built on that ecosystem that if you own Atom and are staking it, these other projects that are building are going, hey, if you own this and you're staking it, when we develop our token, we're going to airdrop these to you. So I didn't even realize that was happening. all of my Atom is being staked in my Trust wallet. Well, I had to download a Kepler wallet and I connected the two, and then all these tokens appeared for me. So they had automatically been airdropped. And as soon as I created that wallet, they all just showed up. And it was, I got airdropped Juno, which is a token that built on the Cosmos ecosystem. And it was worth like 40 grand. I was like, holy crap, that's like the best airdrop ever. So there is actually an account on Twitter called Cosmos Airdrops that is completely dedicated to all of these different projects that are airdropping stuff to the Atom stakers. And now a lot of them are like, okay, if you're staking Atom and Juno, like you get so much for staking Atom, you get so much for staking Juno and some of these other projects that have been airdropped. If you turn around and stake those, some of the newer ones are airdropping to multiples of these. So it's been ridiculous. It's been super cool.
Okay. And maybe just for some of my listeners, and maybe some of that's, you know, maybe just learning about Bitcoin and blockchain like I was, you know, a year or two ago, as far as like, what does exactly staking mean versus, you know, I own Bitcoin, I have it on my wallet, for instance. So
So staking means different things. A lot of the times you are locking up those tokens that you have and you're earning interest on it.
Okay.
Is essentially what that is in the basic form of it. So I think I'm getting like 14% on the Atom that I own, which is awesome. I mean, I'm making a great amount of money. I'm getting all these airdrops from it, and then I'm turning around and staking those and earning more. So it's just been compounding, and I'm really, it's pretty cool. So you're contributing it. And then a lot of them will, there's like governance. If you're staking, you own those coins and you're staking them or tokens, it gives you voting rights to the things that are happening on that ecosystem as well.
Okay. All right. So I'm just kind of thinking in layman's terms for all these gas fees are kind of like transaction fees. So like if I send money on PayPal, the fee is this versus Venmo, it's free. I don't know, for an analogy.
And then staking is just like depositing your coins into a savings account where you're earning interest, except for this is way better interest than the thing we're going to pay you.
Yeah. As long as they're not a three arrows capital that goes really up. It's like, well, I made 14%, but my principal went from, you know, down to zero. So yeah, it kind of evens out.
Oh, it's just crazy. It's so crazy because that was a huge hedge fund with billions of dollars under management. I mean, a really trusted, reliable hedge fund. So it just goes to show you, it really doesn't even matter. I mean, shit can happen. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and you know, it wasn't that long ago that Bernie Madoff, you know, the chairman of the SEC or chairman of whatever it was, I can't remember, S&P or something. And everyone like, oh, Bernie Madoff, you know, he's like the Pope of the finance industry, and look what he did. So
it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, well, there's a, I don't know, I've actually got 2 pages of notes that I've gotten a lot of golden nuggets from this. So I'll have to review for myself, and I hope all my listeners got some info from this as well. As we wrap up here, Courtney, any like last or, you know, interesting projects you're working on for the rest of the year 2023, or anything you're like, I don't know, super excited about? Or
I do. I have a handful of things actually that I'm working on. So been launching a whole string of different Bitcoin mining funds, which has been awesome. So I'll just spit out real fast. Mining is actually a better way of acquiring Bitcoin over just buying it spot. When you mine it, you're mining it cheaper. You're getting it at least at a 15% discount. Right now, my miners are mining it at about a 50% discount.
Okay.
And you get depreciation.
Oh, sure.
So you get depreciation on the equipment and you're mining it cheaper. So mining is totally the way to go. And then I am actually working on a real estate tokenization platform with some amazing people that I am really excited about. I'm hoping to come out and kind of announce that formally in September at SOS. We'll see what happens with that. And then there is a coin I was going to bring up to you, or a token, that I was going to tell your listeners about. So it kind of ties back into the metaverse. It's called Mona, and it's MO, it's called Monavail. The token is Mona.
Okay.
But it's, it has to do with like metaverse outfits and digital stuff. And I put the website in our chat. So it's digitalax.xyz. So definitely go in and check that out. I think there's some really cool stuff that's happening from that project, and especially with its involvement in the metaverse. And so it's digital fashion and some other stuff like this. So the price of the token's really high, but the great thing about crypto is you don't have to buy a whole coin.
You
can go in and buy $1 worth, you can buy $10 worth. So I think it's definitely something worth going in and grabbing a small portion of, but you know, hop on that website, check it out. Highly recommend having some Atom and staking that in a Kepler wallet, which is K-E-P-L-R, Kepler wallet, just because there's still tons of airdrops that are happening. And you can find that airdrop system under Cosmos Airdrop on Twitter.
And then was that Atom, A-D-A-M, or Atom,
It's A-T-O-M. Yeah, A-T-O-M, which is Cosmos. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And again, as always, for those listening, I'll have the probably have about 2 pages of show notes with all these links and resources for so you don't have to hit rewind to get all those. So, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. You know, I love sitting here, you know, chatting about all of this kind of stuff, and it's so great. And, you know, anytime I get the opportunity to talk about crypto and blockchain, I'm really excited.
I definitely appreciate it. I know we've been talking back and forth the last couple of months, and then my question list kind of kept growing and growing. It's like, we better get her on here soon. Otherwise, it's going to be a 3-hour podcast.
So we could talk about it for 3 hours.
Yeah, if not longer. Yes, exactly.
It's funny because I have another podcast coming up, and the lady called me. She was like, can we chat for just a little bit? And I was like, sure. And she had all these questions about real estate tokenization and mining and all this stuff. And so we went down a whole different rabbit hole on that. So
and was that the you actually had a camera photos on your LinkedIn or Facebook? Is there not a podcast, but like a show, a YouTube,
that I'm going to be a guest on?
No, that you yourself are doing. I know I've seen
Robin and I have we're calling it a vodcast, which is a video podcast. And we have a YouTube channel called Ladies Kicking Assets.
There we go. Okay.
It's been super, super fun.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as soon as you said, it's like, yep, I remember watching it. I remember seeing it on social media. It's like, I can't think of the name right now.
Yes. Yep. And it's all centered around financial education. And I actually want to do a whole series on crypto and kind of crypto safety. I've started doing like a 2-minute Tuesday on there, this week's 2-minute Tuesday. What did I talk about? It was just Tuesday yesterday. I talked about some different apps where you can get free Bitcoin. So my three favorite, you know, free Bitcoin apps. And so every week I just, you know, I put out some kind of just, it's a quick, each of the videos is like a minute and a half. So they're very, very quick. But they have
thank you for listening.
You know, just blow
be
it up.
Sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com.
Check those out.
Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.